Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I did.
Good morning to you. Good Monday morning. Happy Monday morning to you, everyone. I want you to know that this is Reverend Dr. Alfie Wines, Living Water, Drinking Deeply, coming at you from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. On this Monday morning, I am so glad to be with you. I want you to know that my heart is excited, my soul is delighted, and my spirit is ignited to be with you on this Monday morning. We are here encouraging compassionate living through a deeper understanding of the biblical text. And I want you to know that on this Monday morning, if you want to call in, you can call in at 347-850-8854. Again, the call-in number for the live broadcast is 347-850-8854. And then also, if you are listening online, whether listening live or even 24/7 after the broadcast has completed, you can find us on a number of pages on Facebook, one under my name, A-L-F-I-E, Wines, W-I-N-E-S. Then you can also find me under Gospel Jazz on Facebook, as well as under Living Water Drinking Deeply. So three Facebook pages where you can find the broadcast. Also, I do want you to know that we're out there also on LinkedIn, on Twitter, as well as on Google+. So you can find us in a number of different ways. Whatever works for you is best for you. That is wonderful. I'm so glad we have so many options through today's technology. Why are we here this morning? I want you to know that we are here to help you get your day started, to help you get your week started. In fact, to help you keep your month, your year moving and grooving throughout your entire life. So glad that you are with us on this Monday morning. You know, I'm here to help you get started, but guess what? The Monday morning broadcast also helps me get started. So I am so glad that we get a chance to meet it in this way every Monday morning. And by the way, this is the anniversary month for this broadcast from Living Water Drinking Deeply. We call it your Monday morning mastermind broadcast. And I want you to know that April is the anniversary month, so we are celebrating all month long. Before we get into the topic this morning, which is A Story with No End, Part 2, I want to bring in one of the guests who has come to join me on today to help me celebrate this anniversary. And I want you to know that this is Mr. Steve McGoy. He is the lead. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Dr. Alfie. How are you today?
I am good. How are you?
I'm perking up, listening to your energy, and it's perking me up on Monday. I'm actually looking to take it down. I've had a long night working, and this is using my sleep time, but I wanted to come by, and now you've got me winding up when I'm trying to wind down.
Uh-oh, it sounds like you're in trouble this morning, because if I've got you going, you'll be going for a while, I imagine.
Yeah, but that's the infectious nature of your voice and your energy. And hopefully there are others who are taking advantage of it on an early Monday, starting the week.
All right. Well, awesome indeed. Wonderful. Thank you so very, very much. I want you to say hello to the audience this morning and just tell them a little bit about our connection. I'm so grateful to you for taking some of your sleep time to be with us on this morning. So won't you greet everyone just for a moment, and then we'll get into the topic for today.
Sure thing. My name is Steve McGoy, internet radio host, founder of One Positive Way Radio. We do all things positive. We're fortunate enough to met and been blessed with Dr. Alfie's energy and work with her. She works with us. We work together and accomplish that task by building that bridge. So I'm here on behalf of that. We're doing all things to encourage and help folks, just as she's doing here, through poetry and music and domestic violence and cancer awareness and social awareness. So this is an extension of what we do at One Positive Way Radio, and I'm happy to be here tonight, or today, I should say. Tonight for me, but today for everybody else.
Okay, then. Well, we certainly enjoy our connection and are so glad that you have joined us on this Monday morning. And I do want everyone to know that I am part of the One Positive Way family, and I encourage you to check out the various broadcasts that are available from One Positive Way. And so thank you so much for joining us this morning. And we're glad you're here, and we're going to get started with the topic for this morning.
Awesome. I'm happy to be here and listen in.
All right. Welcome. All right, everybody. That was Mr. Steve McGoy. I call him Mr. One Positive Way. He doesn't like for me to call him that, but we are part of the team, and I know he's the one who got it all started, so I believe in giving people their props. And so anyway, he has joined us on this morning, and we are so glad about that. I want you to know that we are continuing with the Easter story for, you know, it continues through the several stories, not only just the open tomb, but also there are several appearances of Jesus after the resurrection. And so I call this a story with no end. It actually, we are all part of the story because we are actually written into the story because we are believers. And it really excites me to think about two passages in the Gospel of John where Jesus is actually talking about believers in the future. And there's one in the 17th chapter of John where Jesus is praying for first for himself and then for the disciples. And then he prays for believers for all time. I'm in chapter 17. I'm reading verse 20, and it says, I do not ask in behalf of these alone, speaking of the disciples, but for those also who will believe in me through their word. And so that's a word for believers of all time. For what a wonderful blessing it is when I read that to think that Jesus had all of us, including you and including me, on his mind when he was praying just before what we know of as the ordeal of the crucifixion. But I want to bring us up also to the passage in the 20th chapter, which is a story about two resurrection appearances of Jesus. He has already, earlier in chapter 20, appeared to Mary Magdalene, and now he is appearing, first of all, to a group of disciples, and then to a group of disciples with Thomas. You know, I believe we have given Thomas a bad name. We call him Doubting Thomas, but I want to suggest that he is Believing Thomas. He wanted some evidence, and it is so awesome that Jesus came again to meet with the disciples, and this time to make sure that Thomas was in the group and got what he needed in order to believe. Now, the scriptures don't tell us all of the stories of the various disciples. There are traditions about all of the various disciples and what they did individually to carry on the story. But I want you to know that in my mind, faith and doubt come together. In other words, they're almost like two sides of the same coin. We are sometimes so focused on the idea of believing that we just kind of shun and put down the idea of having doubts or having questions. But I want you to know that some of the most powerful stories in the scripture come from those who have questions or those who, as in Thomas's case, have doubts. And I want us to think about honoring the place that doubt and questions have in the journey of faith. And I want to suggest that somewhere along the way, I imagine that all of us have some form of doubt and some form of questions on our minds as we journey through this thing, you know, called life, which is so full of issues, problems, and challenges. So I want to read a piece of the story this morning. Let's see, which piece will I read? I might read that whole section. I'll just start with verse 19 and probably will go all the way to the end of the chapter. So we just see where the Spirit leads this morning. Starting in verse 19 in chapter 20 of the Gospel of John, we read, "When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus therefore said to them again, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. And if you retain any sins of any, they have been retained.' But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore were saying to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hand the imprint of the nails and put my finger in the place of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, again, his disciples were inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said, 'Thomas, reach here your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing.' Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who do not see and yet believe. Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but they have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that that believing you may have life in his name." What a wonderful passage of scripture. It is so rich of words that encourage us and remind us of this awesome story of resurrection. It's so important to recognize that the disciples, as we saw in the Gospel of Mark, a group of women, and here in the Gospel of John, we see a group of men, and they are stunned. They are astonished. They are fearful. And it amazes me that it took more than just an empty tomb. That was not enough to convince any of the disciples. And I consider Mary Magdalene to be a disciple. When I say disciples, I'm talking all of the ones who were close to him. And so at any rate, it took more than just an empty tomb, but it actually took the presence of Jesus to convince them that he had indeed arisen from the dead, and to encourage them to spread the word and continue to share the good news. I want to talk just a little bit about some of the pieces of this story. It is so rich. We want to lift up the fact that the doors are closed where they are because they were afraid. Now, isn't this interesting that all of these disciples were, of course, Jewish themselves? What is the writer trying to tell us? Scholars let us know that by this time there was some, let me say, tension between those who believed in Jesus and those who did not in the Jewish community. And so this is a reference to that kind of tension. We need to be real careful when we see that. And in the same way that we have to be careful about stereotyping in today's world, in the contemporary world, we need to be careful that when we read that passage, that we do not stereotype and think that applies to more than what the writer was applying it to. And largely he was talking about the leaders and some tension that was in the community. But let us not take that to mean more than it does. I want you to notice that Jesus says twice to the group, "Peace be with you." What a wonderful thing it is to know that God's presence is a bringer of peace into our lives. We need peace to operate. We need peace to be able to think straight. We need peace to be able to be creative. We need peace to be able to have good relationships. And another place scripture tells, pursue peace. In other words, do our part to be at peace with one another. And I want you to know Jesus says it not once but twice. And you know, anytime you hear something not once but twice, that's a way of really asking you to pay attention to it, to really asking you to focus on that. And so Jesus says that not once but twice. In other words, peace be with you. And look at what he does. He breathes on them. What an awesome thing. We think about the breath of God in Genesis and how it is. The breath of God is in the process of doing all of the creation, of thinking of everything that we know about of creation, and that God is moving and breathing on the chaos, as we get in the story of Genesis. And so here we find Jesus doing something similar. This time he is breathing on them. And I want you to think of that in terms of not only the presence of God, but also the Spirit of God. Think of it in terms of peace. And actually, it is a sign of forgiveness. In other words, he's letting those disciples know, hold on just for a moment.
Okay, I did.
Pardon me. At any rate, he's letting them know that he is reconnecting with them, that he has forgiven them, in other words. And so he is commissioning them to go out and to share the good news. Now, notice that Thomas is not with them. And I love this story because, you know, there are some of us who you know, we need a little bit more. Some of us just kind of naturally come to faith. Some of us it's easy to convince. And then others of us, it takes a little more. You know, it might take us a little longer. We might have to walk that journey of life a little bit longer before we come to that point where we acknowledge and recognize God. And I believe that Thomas represents those of us who perhaps it takes a little bit more convincing. And yet, at the same time, once we are convinced, once we are believers, it really doesn't matter so much how we came to that point of trusting and believing. But it is important, what it is important is that we actually believe. I love this because also it shows the extent to which Jesus went to open Thomas's mind, to open his heart, to open his spirit, to give him what he needed to come to that place of belief. And you know, God does the same thing with all of us. But notice he shows up, and in particular this time, and there's another place where it says he encouraged the disciples to, you know, even to touch, the same thing that he is encouraging Thomas to do here, but that's not in this particular piece of the story. But at any particular piece, he has singled out Thomas and given him an opportunity to touch. Now, what's amazing about this is the scripture doesn't really tell us whether he touched or not. It seems that once he saw Jesus, that was enough. And he says, "My Lord and my God." What an awesome personal story of faith, testament of faith. What an awesome way to just acknowledge who Jesus is and acknowledge that he too is God. What a wonderful statement he makes, just very simply. And yet, those few words he says so very much. So I want to encourage all of us this morning on our journeys to not put one another down, not put ourselves down when there are questions that we have, or when people raise questions about faith, or when people have doubts about faith. And I want to suggest that actually our doubts are, you can't doubt it unless you've got some level of belief or question or trust, or at some level you can't doubt what you don't have some level of belief in. You wouldn't even think about it if you didn't have some form of question or trust or possibility of trust in it. And so I want to suggest that really doubt and faith go together. And so I believe it's important to honor our questions and to honor our doubts as well. And so that we come, that's part of the journey, and as we work through those, we come to a place of faith, much in the same way that Thomas did. And then Jesus gives us this blessing: blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. And of course, that includes all of us believers through the ages. And yet here the writer tells us that the story has not ended, not only by including all of us, but also letting us know that Jesus did a whole bunch of stuff. In other words, there's a lot more to the gospel story, and yet he could not write it all down. And he let us know that there was much more to the story than just what he has written. But he lets us know that what he has written was designed so that we can believe. And I want to imagine, let me back up, the scholars tell us that it seems that this was at one point the end of this gospel story. And of course, it continues for one more chapter. It seems that someone came along and added another piece of the story. But I want us to know that it is so important to know the whole story, to know the rest of the story, and these stories about Jesus' appearance, first to Mary Magdalene, then to a group of disciples without Thomas, then to a group of disciples with Thomas, is so important to know the whole story, the rest of the story, and to know that there's even more to this. So I want to encourage you on this morning to continue on your journey of faith, to continue hoping, continue to believe. And I want you to know on this morning that God loves you more than you could ever imagine, that God wants good things for you more than you want them for yourself. I want you to know that God loves you so much it will take God an entire eternity to give you all of God's love. I want you to know on this morning and send you this blessing: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord give you peace. The Lord be gracious, gracious unto you. Until the next time.
Okay, I did.
A breakthrough coming your way. It's a mighty move of God. It's gonna change your day. Sign and wonders, miracles to perform. God is gonna bless you for just holding on. Just hold on. Change is coming. I feel it in the air. It's in the atmosphere. Just hold on. Change is coming. A move of God is on the way.
I'm all I got. I'm all I got.